SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and George Kurtz.
We are live on Football Full Circle. It is a Football Friday here on FFC. He is George Kurtz. I am Ben Stevens. 1 hour together up until 1 p.m. Eastern time to send you into the weekend. George, of course, the story this week around the National Football League was the schedule release and the complete unveiling of 2024 schedule on Wednesday evening. We've had about 48 hours to sit with this information, to look at the 17-game schedule for all 32 NFL clubs, and to have some of those takeaways and reactions. How do you feel about the schedule release over the past 2 days?
Yeah, it's been interesting, right? In some ways it's kind of silly, right? We're getting all excited about what's, you know, pretty much the release of dates and times, you know, of our calendar. But listen, I like it as well here. I watch the special on ESPN here. I'm the Cowboy fan. I look at who's playing, when are the Cowboys playing on Monday nights, who they playing at Thanksgiving. You know, do they have three road games in a row? Always look at stuff like that as far as advantages or disadvantages. Who they do they play any teams coming off a bye, which I always think is insane in the NHL, the NFL, why they don't make these schedules fairer, but they don't care about fairness. It's not what they're all about. It's about making money here. So it's there, it's over, and now if you're a betting person, it also gives you a little I guess if you were leaning one way or the other, schedule can help you push that way, whether you're going to bet on maybe a team total or stay away from it.
Yeah, listen, I think you bring up a great point, George, because we have the team totals out. We've had the win totals out now for at least a month and a half. You know what a schedule is going to look like for insert X team if you want to bet the under or the over of whatever their win total is for the 2024 NFL season. You know who they're playing and where those games are scheduled to be. Home, road, neutral site, if it changed because of the international venues, whatever that is in the five-game international slate in 2024. But now you can go even a step further, and I think you bring up a great point, because with the matchups definitely set, you have the odds makers, how they see, hey, this team that you wanted to bet the win total over 8.5, they're booked as a 4.5-point underdog against a team that has also a win total of 8.5. Maybe they're not as good as you expected, or the converse of that conversation as well. You also know, George, are they coming off a week where they were just on the road here week number 4 and had to return somewhere else week number 5? All of those conversations that are now being furthered by the schedule release and where things stand in the National Football League.
Yeah, you make once again, it's a good point. You look at those Thursday night games, right? Is there a road team playing on a Thursday night that was also on the road Sunday? Well, it had to travel cross country. We're already in a lot of ways want to pick against the road team for Thursday nights anyway. And now I look for that as well here. When it comes to team totals, team win totals, I prefer to bet unders than I do overs. Schedule can certainly push me the other way here, but generally it's going to push me towards unders here because I'm a big believer it's May 17th, right? Season starts, what, first week in September, mm-hmm. maybe second week in September. Right. Between now and then, Ben, there aren't too many teams that are going to get better. They may stay the same. Most will stay the same, but some will get worse. Because there will be injuries, right? That'll make a team worse here. So I like betting unders here. That's what I'm looking for. There's a team that, or teams, that I'm on the fence about betting the under, the schedule can help me push that way. Oh, look at this. They're playing two teams coming up a bye. That's certainly not good. They're doing that cross-country Thursday night thing. Not good. So that'll help me push towards teams like that. But I'm always looking to bet team unders. I just think that's, in mid-May, that's what I want to do.
I think it's a really good point as well, George, because when we get ready for training camp, when we get into the deeper parts of these off seasons, where we look now not just at a schedule and how things line up in a grid, but who is going to fill out that roster, injuries are going to happen. Are there going to be too many blockbuster trades or acquisitions? No. I think the one player right now that really could maybe shift a team's outlook is T. Higgins. If he is back in Cincinnati playing under the franchise tag in 2024, if he is traded at a certain point this offseason. That's really about it from a player perspective, from a positive standpoint. But when you think about injuries, that will rear its ugly head. I love looking at the game odds that are available, the entirety of the week one slate, some of those marquee matchups early on in the year, the international games, some holiday games like the Christmas matchups between the Chiefs and the Steelers, the Ravens and the Texans. It gives you that ability to get even a bigger evaluation of where these teams stacked up. And George, week number one of the NFL season, for a second straight season, the New York Jets start their season on a Monday night in primetime on Monday Night Football. This year on the road in Santa Clara against the San Francisco 49ers, with the Niners booked as a 6.5-point favorite. That part should not be shocking. San Fran was booked as a favorite in all 20 of its NFL games last year, including Super Bowl 58 against the Kansas City Chiefs. The odds makers look very favorably at the San Francisco 49ers. But what stands out, Scott, is the New York Jets starting with 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks of the NFL season. And we got this bit of information from Mike North, the NFL's VP of broadcast planning, yesterday in a call following the schedule release, George, on Wednesday night, where he said, maybe tongue-in-cheek, but this is the quote, "Yes, it's an awful lot of primetime games early in the season, but obviously I feel like the Jets kind of owe us one." That was the quote from Mike North. It is funny, George, when you look at that, because, of course, it was the opening game for New York a season ago, that first Monday night in MetLife, where Aaron Rodgers only played 4 snaps. The Jets were that optimistic team in the offseason, where Aaron Rodgers in New York was supposed to dominate the headlines for football games, not anything off the field, and that didn't really pan out in terms of all the primetime opportunities the Jets were supposed to receive in 2023.
Yeah, it's gutsy by the NFL to do this again, to bank on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets here. It was awful last year, right? I mean, once Rodgers went down, we had to watch, you know, the Jets a lot in standalone games. And that wasn't good. It just wasn't good. So I think it wasn't. I think it was tongue-in-cheek. I don't think he means that, at least not fully here. But for the NFL, I don't think they should do this with any team, by the way. Any team. Because once again, if it happens again, once again, we're stuck watching these. Then again, the NFL knows we're going to watch anyway. Because I keep saying we're stuck watching it. Yeah. Right? I didn't say we're stuck and we're not going to watch. No, we're going to watch anyway. So the NFL doesn't care. They know they can get away with stuff like this. But, fan-wise, sure. We hope the Jets are as good as some people think they can be here. And I'm all sort of on board there. I think the Jets will be a good team. But I don't like one of the most frustrating things, and I haven't checked this, by the way, is when a team plays on a Sunday night one week and then a Monday night the next week. It's like, what are we doing? Why are they 2 standalone games in a row? Especially when generally it does seem like it is a great team. It's the Denver Broncos or even the Pittsburgh Steelers who aren't great, or Chicago Bears back when they were terrible. That was always frustrating. I wish they would mix that up.
Yeah, when you look at the Jets, again, those 6 primetime games in their first 11 weeks, that Monday night, then Thursday night, week 3, the short week Thursday night football game against the Patriots at home, a Monday night game October 15th, or 14th, excuse me, against the Buffalo Bills, Sunday night football that very next week, George, to your point, on the road in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, and then a primetime game, short week Thursday night football on actual Halloween against the Texans, and then a Sunday night football game at home against the Indianapolis Colts. And again, George, part of the reason New York is highlighted in the schedule as such, although last year was dismal without Aaron Rodgers under center, and the Jets' playoff drought is now 13 consecutive years, the longest of any of the 4 major men's professional sports leagues in North America, there is still the thought that with Aaron Rodgers, even at 40, coming back from a torn Achilles, is going to lead the Jets to the postseason. Their win total for this year, 9.5. The over has the juice at -142. Albeit in a competitive AFC, the Jets are favored to see the playoffs at -144. Do you still have that same level of expectation for this Jets team in year number 2 under Aaron Rodgers?
No, I haven't placed any wagers on this, but you look at the schedule, it does. It is nice. I know Warren Sharp has already broken this down, but it does favor very well for the Jets, right? If they could split their first 2 games, San Fran, Tennessee, then you get New England, Denver, Minnesota. Boy, that's a nice little run there, rookie quarterbacks. You can go 4-1 real quick, right? 4-1 real quick. So, yeah, I like the Jets.
Yeah, I will be intrigued to see how they look with a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles, but we shall see. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and George Kurtz.
Live right here on this Football Friday on FFC. We're going to see the New York Jets early and often in primetime throughout this 2024 NFL season. As Mike North, the NFL's vice president of broadcast planning, said yesterday, George, after the schedule reveal, yeah, it's an awful lot of primetime games early in the season, but obviously I feel like the Jets kind of owe us one. Of course, Aaron Rodgers' season cut short after only four plays into his tenure in New York. They are hoping for much better than the odds makers expect. 9.5, the win total, 4 game green. The over has the hefty juice. George, as you have looked at the schedule after it was fully unveiled on Wednesday, we knew some of the marquee matchups. You got to see the holiday slate, the triple header on Thanksgiving, the double header on Christmas, how your Cowboys stack up the first few weeks of the year. Were there any other teams that you pointed at and said, ooh, this schedule is daunting either early or late? It's going to be interesting to see how it affects their playoff chances, the divisional race, their win total overall, that really stood out to you?
You know, I think I was probably in a pleasant way, if you're a Bengals fan, surprised their schedule is not tougher, right? Because you're playing that division alone. Makes it rough, right? You're playing Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore. That's 6 games. You're playing the NFC East. That's the Eagles and Cowboys. No, 8 games. Yet their schedule is not as tough as I thought it would have been, which makes you wonder if Joe Burrow and company there are in for a nice season there in Cincinnati.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's a good look when I think about it as well, George, because when the Bengals stack up right now, playing in the AFC North, that is never going to be easy. But you mentioned Warren Sharp, who has done a great job, by the way, explaining everything and all the metrics that go into what really determines strength of schedule, travel miles, rest advantage versus disadvantage. All of it, is it front-loaded? Is it back-loaded for teams like the Steelers or the Bears, who I will highlight in just a minute? He also does a great job with his team at Sharp Football Analysis of breaking down projected strength of schedule based on win totals for the upcoming year. I love this method, George, because unlike looking at combined record last year, you forecast the team that you are going to play in the future, not the team that was, because as we know, a lot can change in an offseason around the National Football League. And the Bengals actually have the 6th easiest schedule all around the NFL. The Bengals, who play in the AFC North, have the 6th easiest schedule. Meanwhile, their 3 other divisional opponents, George, rank in the 4 most difficult. The Ravens, 4th hardest. The Browns, 3rd hardest. And the Steelers, as of this moment, the hardest schedule in all of the National Football League. So the fact that we have 3 of the 4 hardest schedules in the league coming from 3 of the 4 teams that play in the AFC North division, and the only other one that has one of the 6th easiest schedules being Cincinnati, the Bengals have a huge advantage, you would think, to get back on top the AFC North as they have in the full 2 healthy years that Joe Burrow has played in his NFL career.
Absolutely. I think it's a huge advantage in that division, right? Mm. Huge. You already brought out that the other 3 teams don't. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh's second half schedule. My God. I forget they have bye weeks in week 9. In week 10, okay, you play Washington. Then it's Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Good luck. Good luck, Pittsburgh, to navigate. I mean, listen, I understand. You know, not all these teams are going to be good or great. You know, there are always some teams that surprise us, good or bad. You know, maybe Cleveland's not going to be the team we think they're going to be. Maybe Deshaun Watson will continue to regress, something like that. But still, that is a daunting second half schedule there for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which once again would lead me to believe maybe they're not going to hit that over on their win total.
And I think, George, you bring up a really great point. And that has been the story, of course, for Mike Tomlin in the Steel City. 17 years as the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Never less than 8 wins. Never a losing record. Even when the offense has been atrocious or things have been a struggle on that side of the football, somehow, some way, Tomlin leads this Steelers organization to a winning record. And when you look then at the win total the last few years, it has hovered around 7.5, either with juice on the over, 8.5, maybe some juice juice on the under. Where does it stand for the Steelers this year? 7.5 in the over has some incredibly hefty juice at minus 184. But to George's point, the back end of the schedule for the Steelers, weeks 11 through 18, weeks 13 through 18, as hard as you will find. Here is the Steelers' schedule from week 11 on. Hosting Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, hosting Cleveland, at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, hosting KC, regular season finale, hosting Cincy. It does not get more difficult than that. It is going to be an absolute bear down the stretch. So if you expect, which has been a staple of consistency and an incredibly strong trend for 17 straight years, Pittsburgh to get to at least 8 wins, they might need 7 of the 8, if not all 8, George, by the time they get to week number 11.
Yeah, they better clean up in that first half. They better clean up here. And also, it won't matter who the quarterback is, Wilson or Fields there. I think it's going to be a little – I think they're a better team, by the way, than last year. I do. And I kind of like them going into this season. But it was already hard to say they're better than any of their three division rivals, right? And now you get the second-half schedule. Boy, I just don't see it. But – like I said, Atlanta, Denver, Chargers, Indianapolis, Dallas, Vegas, Jets, Giants. It's not like the first half is cake. It's just normal, right? It's just a normal schedule here. But if you slip up, you know, if you happen to lose, they play the first two games on the road. They go 0-2, first two games on the road, you can pack it in. Start looking forward to 2025.
Absolutely so. Listen, they're not going to lose their final 7 games of the year, every one. At least we don't expect that to be the case. But it's just going to be difficult to find those wins. And you would almost think that in a couple of these spots, with 4 of those games on the road, and then you're hosting Baltimore, Cleveland, KC, and Cincy, you never know what's going to happen by the time we get to week 15 and who's available and who's healthy and what a season has said about these teams. But at least on paper right now, I don't project the Pittsburgh Steelers to be favorites in maybe any of those final 7-8 games. The Steelers are an underdog for their week 1 matchup in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins' debut in the ATL for the Falcons. Of course, the reunion of Arthur Smith, who's now the OC in Pittsburgh, against the former team where he spent the past 3 seasons as the head coach, the Dirty Birds, booked as a 3-point favorite, a total of 42.5. I'll just say this, if the Steelers offense is better, even by a little bit in 2024, knowing all the firepower the Falcons have offensively, you would expect that game to sail over 42.5. More around the schedule in the National Football League next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and George Kurtz.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. You heard it there in the final commercial with Carver and Lisi. Joe Lisi, Mike Carver, going through some week 1 numbers. They're fired up, George. So am I. As we talk about some difficult schedules around the National Football League, the Steelers have the most difficult schedule based on projected win total of opponents. There's also a very interesting scheduling quirk for Pittsburgh that the Chicago Bears are also going to deal with. Now, the Bears' schedule is not nearly as difficult as Pittsburgh based on win total projections from our guy Warren Sharp. In fact, the Bears have the 3rd easiest schedule around the National Football League. But both the Steelers and the Bears, George, do not play divisional opponents in their first 10 weeks. All 6 divisional games will come in the final 8 games of the regular season for these two sides. That is going to be jam-packed at the very end. And the AFC North, probably the best division in football, at least for the sampling of these 4 teams on paper, I think the NFC North is going to be very good this year as well. The Bears, the Packers, and the divisional favorites, the Lions, all favored to make the playoffs. So the ending gauntlet for Chicago is just that, a gauntlet.
Yes, it is. And you're probably talking about the 2 best divisions in football there, right? The the North Division of both leagues. It's pretty much where my vote would be anyway. AFC East, New England's in the AFC East. Can't really make that argument there. Sorry. Not to the pages, so if they ever return to dominance there. The Bears are an interesting team. All right. You had those 2 number 1 picks, Caleb Williams and Odunze. How fast can they be the players we think they can be? Well, the Bears think they can be. If it's quicker than we think, you know, boy, they can make some noise there too. You know, so it wouldn't really shock me there. And, you know, schedule's not, I would call it normally, probably a little bit friendly, right? You start out against Tennessee. All right, you go to Houston, Indianapolis. That's rough there. But then, you know, you get the Rams, Carolina, Jacksonville. Chance that Jacksonville game is in one of the European games. I'm assuming England, but I'm not that sure. I think it is in England. So, you got a chance there. Washington, Arizona, New England. Mm-hmm. I mean, the schedule is nice for Chicago. It is nice to make some damage, do some damage here, make some noise. So I think Chicago is heading in the right direction. We forget they won their, maybe not their fair share of games, but they had three wins last year. So they're a team that I'm not saying to bet they're over, and I'm not doing it, Ben, but I think they're an interesting team to watch in that division.
Yeah, an 8.5 win total for Chicago. They won 5 of their final 7 games to end out 2023, the defense being the main reason why, and now they've invested in the offensive side. That first overall pick, Caleb Williams, 9th overall pick, Roma Dunze, the acquisition of the productive Keenan Allen. They get DeAndre Swift, signing him in this offseason as a free agent, have surrounded Caleb Williams with the talent and the pieces that he needs to be successful. And when you look at this team, George, it's not just hoping for a 5-6-7 win season with a rookie quarterback in his first year. No, win totals 8.5. Over has the juice. They are favored at a -128 price to make the NFC playoffs. That's going to be what Chicago is expected to do. And much like Pittsburgh, if they're going to get on the doorstep of doing such a thing, they need to have success early on, which only ratchets up the pressure for a rookie quarterback in his first few weeks in the National Football League. They open at home against the Tennessee Titans, Caleb Williams' debut in the NFL, and the Bears currently booked as a 4.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. George, when you look at some other schedules around the National Football League, again, the Atlanta Falcons were a team that I was looking forward to seeing, much like the Jets last year with a big offseason acquisition at the quarterback spot, how the schedule makers dealt with Atlanta. Because the Falcons at least will be perceived as one of the up-and-coming teams around the National Football League with the odd decision in the NFL draft to select Michael Penix Jr. 8th overall. There's going to be a lot of notoriety on Kirk Cousins, on the Falcons, on Michael Penix Jr. And from the national attention, Atlanta is playing in prime time 4 separate times in 2024, including week number 2, Monday Night Football on the road in Philadelphia for the Eagles' home opener. The Falcons at this moment, though, at least according to those projected win totals, partly helped out by being in the NFC South with the Carolina Panthers, the Falcons have the easiest schedule on paper, George, in all of the NFL.
Well, you look at this schedule. I mean, just don't collapse in the first 3 games, right? Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City. Don't collapse. You know, don't go 0-3 and you're fine. New Orleans, Tampa, Carolina. They don't play anybody. All right, Dallas, week 9. There's no team you're like, oh, wow, they got to play this team? I mean, nobody the rest of the season here. Just get off to a decent start.
Yep. On paper, George, you look at the rest of the schedule following week 3 for Atlanta, they might be favored in every game. More on Football Full Circle comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and George Kurtz.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So now that the schedule has been fully released around the National Football League, you can start to look at who a team plays, what the opponents are, match it up with their strength of schedule based on projected win totals for all 17 opponents, and put it in order. And George, as we were just doing with the Atlanta Falcons, their first 3 weeks, difficult. Home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but booked as a 3.5-point favorite for Kirk Cousins' debut in the ATL. Week number 2 on the road in Philadelphia. That's a primetime game. Monday Night Football, Eagles home opener. You would expect the Atlanta Falcons to be a slight road underdog. And then week number 3, Sunday Night Football back at home, but welcoming in the 2-time reigning champs. That would be the Kansas City Chiefs. KC probably at least somewhere around a field goal favorite for that game, despite being on the road against Atlanta. So those first 3 weeks, tough. But from that point out, as I look at this on paper, right here, right now, knowing where the teams stand, I'm not sure the Falcons are going to be an underdog for the rest of the season, maybe against the Cowboys week number 9 or on the road against the playoff and three-time reigning NFC South winning Tampa Bay Buccaneers week number 8. But I don't really know where else, George, you would look at the schedule for Atlanta and say the Falcons are a decided underdog and expected to lose said football game.
It's just a Dallas game in my mind, right? Dallas are the public team, so I expect them. They'll be a dog. Not much, a couple of points against the Cowboys. I guess technically, depending on how game one goes against Tampa Bay, they could be a dog in week 8 at Tampa. Once again, if Tampa Bay's playing well, they did win the division. Once again, it could be a pick 'em, a point, but that's it. The schedule, as it looks now, and I am fully aware, by the way, people get all, that there'll be a team or two on the schedule that's going to be better than we thought, and maybe a team or two that's going to be terrible. They're much worse than we thought here. Maybe the Chargers will be a good team. Maybe the Vikings will figure it out under J.J. McCarthy or Darnold. Vegas, and they'll be better. But as it stands, this schedule is like, you've got to be kidding me. How does a team that I liked anyway, even before I knew who they were going to play, I liked Atlanta to win this division. Now I am all on board. You'll put me on the Falcons bandwagon big time.
Yeah, and George, it's going to be so fascinating following this team because the pressure is going to be there for Kirk Cousins after all that was invested in this Falcons offseason to bring him over 4-year, $180 million deal. He will be 36 by the time the NFL season begins in 2024, also coming off a torn Achilles. There was all of that notoriety already, and then you add in Michael Penix Jr. being drafted 8th overall by the Falcons in this past April's draft, and adding that notoriety and complexity to the story that will be the Falcons' 2024 campaign. They have an easy schedule where the thought is in Atlanta, as Terry Fontenot, the general manager, said, that despite us not having a winning record in 6 years or making the playoffs in 6 seasons, we don't expect to be drafting in the top 10, top 15 for quite some time. That was part of the rationale of why they selected Penix Jr. at 8th overall. Well, here's all you need, Terry. The easiest schedule in the National Football League. Everything sets up incredibly favorably for you to win a division. Go make good on what you have said is your reasoning for the peculiar draft decision around Michael Penix Jr. Georgia team you mentioned, the LA Chargers, second easiest schedule based on projected win total of opponents for this upcoming NFL season. The Falcons and the Chargers will play on Sunday, the 1st of December. The Chargers social media team had a lot of fun on schedule release night on Wednesday, and now we look at the actual schedule. Of course, playing in the AFC West, trying to knock the Kansas City Chiefs from that perch, has been something the Chargers have been optimistically viewed as doing the last few years. Just hasn't happened. The Chiefs have won the AFC West 8 straight seasons. What do you expect out of the Bolts, George, in the first year under Jim Harbaugh?
That's a tough question because I think in some ways Harbaugh is ripping it down, right, or has ripped it down. Maybe not to the floorboards, but he wants to put his own touch on this team, what he wants to do. And that's generally not something you're going to do in one offseason, one draft. Right, I think it's going to be another season or another offseason or two before we really see the Chargers that Harbaugh wants. That being said, schedule's not tough. And even Kansas City, by the way, I know it's sort of reminds me of the Patriots on their later days under Brady, right? And it never gave them enough respect. This will be the year they fall apart. This will be the year they fall apart. I sort of feel like that again with Kansas City. There's sort of a mess there, right? They don't have a left tackle right now. Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. Just a matter of how many games here. So, they have some issues. They're still the best team in that division, but I don't think they're, I don't think they're, a 14-win team here. Vegas isn't very good. Denver isn't very good. Why can't the Chargers, be a surprise team? That being said, other than Justin Herbert, what do we like on offense? Gus Edwards is an injury waiting. J.K. Dobbins is an injury waiting to happen. We know that, so that's going to be a little tough. Don't really have, I don't know what Ladd McConkey is going to be. We'll see. Other than that, you have a bunch of barely number two NFL receivers, if not number three. You don't really have the tight end. So there's so many question marks here, but I do wonder. When I say the teams that surprise us, I do wonder if the Chargers might be that team.
Yeah, what's so crazy, George, is the last few years, that was the question. Could the Chargers be that team? Supreme talent at the quarterback position with Justin Herbert. A lot of talent around him. They invested defensively over the past few off seasons to bring in Khalil Mack, to bring in guys like J.C. Jackson. Now, Khalil Mack was good in L.A. J.C. Jackson never amounted to much. And, of course, coaching really had held them back. Peculiar decision after game management decision by Brandon Staley. But one thing about Jim Harbaugh, I'm not sure it happens right away, but Jim Harbaugh is a program builder. Jim Harbaugh has gone into many different situations, whether it be the San Francisco 49ers at the professional level, or UC San Diego, or Michigan, or Stanford at the FBS and FCS level, and wins right away. He is a program organizational builder, and he is a successful head coach. You're right. He has torn a lot of things down. They have focused on the offensive line. They are going to establish the run, it would seem, to help complement Justin Herbert. They don't have a lot of talent out wide. We'll see if Quentin Johnston, the first-round draft pick of 2 years ago, has a better second year after a disappointing rookie campaign. But I can guarantee you one thing. The Chargers are not going to be a bottom feeder in this division. The Chargers' win total, George, is 8.5 for this upcoming year. The over has the juice at minus 144, even if that tracks and they get to 9 wins. I'm not sure they become a playoff team in what we all expect to be a very, very, very competitive AFC from a conference playoff perspective as a whole. But if I'm going to bet the under, I'm not thinking all under 7.5. I'm thinking that it might just stay under 8.5, be right around 8-9 wins for LA this year. I have that belief in Jim Harbaugh, and although the Chargers have had expectations heaped on them over the past 2 to 3 seasons, this might be the year where they're not as optimistically viewed, where I actually think they reach a certain level of success.
Yeah, I probably still lean under. You know, I did because as much as I think they could be a surprise over team, as it stands right now, you take the Harbaugh out of the equation. And I like him as a coach, too. I think he can do a really good job there. Glaze back in the NFL. But all these games where they're playing teams that just like them, you know, they play Vegas week one. I don't know who's going to win. I probably lean Chargers a little bit, but I can't, you know, it's close. You know, Carolina, yeah, they'll be Carolina. Pittsburgh, can't say, I don't know if they can win. Denver and Arizona, sure, they can win, but they're both on the road. Maybe a split. New Orleans at home, I think they should win, but they could, you know what I mean? I can go play this over and over again. Where Cleveland, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Baltimore, that's Atlanta. Wow, that's a nice stretch there, 6-game stretch. I don't know if they'll win twice out of that. You know, so you're asking a lot to get, they need to win a majority of the 50-50 games. And they're 50-50 for a reason. I don't think they will win a majority. I think they'll pretty much go 50-50. I think they could get their total, but I'm not betting it. I'm just one way or the other. I'm not betting it. It'll be something I leave alone. But I have hope for them that maybe they could be that surprise team. But like you, even if they are that surprise team, I don't see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, again, 9 wins does not guarantee a playoff berth in the AFC. 9 wins might be a wild card spot in the NFC, depending on how the rest of that conference plays out. It is not necessarily seen as that side of the league as a whole in the NFC nearly as difficult as the AFC. We've talked about our guy, Warren Sharp, lead NFL analyst for Sports Grid. We'll break down some of his thoughts up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and George Kurtz.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle as a Football Friday rolls on. We continue to look back at schedule takeaways after the entirety of the 2024 NFL season schedule was released on Wednesday night. George, a guy that we have mentioned a few times who does some great work for the Sports Grid Network, our lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp, who also does some great analytical and data work for his own company, Sharp Football Analysis, had some key takeaways following the release of the 2024 NFL schedule. Mainly what he looks at in terms of things, there are some areas to kind of delve into where there's rest edges, who has a rest advantage, rest disadvantage, week in, week out, more or less rest than your opponent, opponent's days to prepare for the game, short week road games, all of those things that can factor in to what your win total looks like, how a season lays out for you. One of the things that Warren mentioned is that we are starting to get into a place where, based on the various primetime deals that the NFL has, and always thinking of the TV product first and foremost, you're getting unbalanced schedules, at least over the average of 32 NFL teams. For instance, Warren notes that in the 2024 NFL schedule features a schedule in which there are 101 games played out of 272. That's the entirety of the regular season. That's 37%, where one team has a rest advantage over their opponent, which is the most, George, in all of NFL history. So those rest advantages starting to pick up across the entirety of the league throughout the entirety of the regular season.
Oh, if you want to get me on a rant, here we go. All right.
Please do it.
I mean, listen, the NFL does not care about, you know, being fair. They don't. They never have. All they care about is money, making money. All right, I'll never understand why the bye weeks, why we don't have the entire NFC East have, you know, week 8 off. And then week 9 is they play each other, right? Solves the problem of rest. You know, maybe you have two of those teams that play on Thursday nights. You're not worried about that either. Why do we have a team play on the road on a Sunday and then at home or whatever, or vice versa, on Thursday? How's that fair? You know, specifically the road on a Sunday and then home or whatever on Thursday. Why are you doing that? Why haven't had them play on the road before? You got the short week as it is here. The NFL doesn't care. Right? They never have cared, and they never will care. And that's fine. You know, we can complain, bitch, moan about this all we want. You need to know it going in. So there'll always be the rest advantages things or the rest disadvantages. I'll never get why you would have a division game on a Sunday where the team, one of those two teams had a bye week the week before. That's a division game. Those are important. Right? This is not baseball where you play 162 games. Okay, who cares? You know, it's just football. It's 1/17th. It'll be 1/18th in 2030. So it just doesn't make sense to me. It never has, but except the NFL don't give a damn. They can tell you all they want. You know, and have all, integrity and all that BS.
Yeah.
Complete bull. They don't care.
Yeah. Completely agree, George. Again, when you realize the NFL is a business, when you realize the TV product is the most profitable arm of said billion-dollar business, that is always going to be put first and foremost. The NFL said last year that even getting into Christmas Day games, with Christmas on a Wednesday in 2024, December 25th being a Wednesday, middle of the week, it's not a date the NFL played on. Boo-hoo. The NFL's playing a doubleheader on Christmas with marquee teams. That's going to be part of the rest edge and disadvantages that we see in large part around the NFL. Oh, Saturday, December 21st, week 16, college football playoff has announced its 12-team field expansion with three playoff games on that Saturday. Would the NFL back off? Nope. We can have a Saturday full of great matchups. You are going to bend the knee to the National Football League. That is what they always do. It is something that is reality, and to your point, George, should not be shocking or new or surprising here for the 2024 NFL schedule release. We talked about Mike North, right? NFL's VP of broadcast planning, in the quote that he said how the Jets owe them one after Aaron Rodgers only played four offensive snaps on that first Monday night of the season. Mike North was further quoted saying, it's our job to take those 272 games to find the right home for them. What does that mean? Some of them sound like Sunday night football games. Some of them sound like Monday night football games. Others are qualifying for kickoff week one. Some of them may belong on Thanksgiving or in London or in Germany. Some feel better late in the season. So what he is pretty much saying is they have a feel for what they are doing based on the TV product and placement. That might be their number one priority, George, as you alluded to, not necessarily, ooh, are the Saints playing the same equitable schedule as their NFC South opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or even are the Saints playing the same fair, equitable schedule in each one of these key metrics that affects game flow and success as insert X team from the AFC East. That is not the top priority in their minds.
No, and it won't be. Like I said, you talk about billionaires who want to be, you know, want to make more billions. It's all that matters to them. They'll say all the right things here. Listen, they all want to play in Europe, right? Because that makes more money for them. Yet no one wants to play in Europe, right? Jerry Jones of the Cowboys wants nothing to do with it because it's a disadvantage to lose one of your home games, which it is. It's completely insane when you think about it. You only get 9 or 8 of these things. You're going to play one of them in England or Germany or wherever it might be. Of course, no, you don't want to do it unless you're an also-ran team, you know, and then you don't care and you'll take the cash here. But it is what it is. Like I said, I've ranted against this for years. It doesn't matter. They're not going to change. And I know that. You know, I still rant again because it feels good to rant against it. We use it as an excuse, right? But once again, you build that into what you, if you're going to bet a team or not bet a on a team, right? Because you're building into that, okay? Depends on what you believe. What does a loss of rest mean? Is it 3 points, 4 points, 5 points? Right. Is that what you think?
For sure.
You know, are they recovered from those injuries? You know, see, you look at that. But it's also the reason why. Now, granted, last year wasn't as bad, but usually home teams have a significant advantage on those Thursday games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. George, for instance, how do you quantify rest advantage versus disadvantage? I'm sure there are deeper metrics that get into it, but it is something that can be overcome. When you look at the 49ers, they have a net disadvantage in terms of rest, of negative 21 days this year. That is the largest in the last decade of any team in the National Football League over the last 10 years. That means they are losing out 21 days over the course of a season to their opponents in terms of that rest disadvantage. But last year, the 49ers also had the highest rest disadvantage in the National Football League at minus 20 days, and still, of course, were a very successful football team that won 12 games, won the NFC West, and made it all the way to a Super Bowl. So some of this is hard to quantify if it is that deciding factor. More on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and George Kurtz.
Live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more moments on this Football Friday. So, George, we're talking about scheduling inequities in the National Football League and the great work that our lead NFL analyst on Sports Grid, Warren Sharp, is doing with his Sharp Football Analysis team. He also noted that this year, we talked about the 49ers having the largest rest disadvantage, a total of 21 days in a negative sense as compared to the entirety of their opponents. The Ravens have the best rest edge in all of the NFL, at least dating back to 1990, with a plus 16. That means they have 16 days in total, the cumulative sum, of more rest than their opponents throughout their 17 weeks, or their 17 games, rather, throughout this 2024 NFL season. In fact, George, there are four teams that have double-digit rest advantages throughout this season. The Ravens with the most at plus 16. The Patriots second best at plus 12, actually a tied for second best. The Pats, the Vikings, and the Eagles all plus 12 in terms of having 12 more days of rest in comparison to the entirety of their opponents for 2024.
Yeah, and I hate it. I like the 13s. And like I said, I can't say this enough. It's important to know this because we can make our more informed decision. Like I said, I don't think this is a huge thing, mind you, but I think it is important. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly something that could swing me one way. If I'm on the fence about a team, it can certainly swing me on the fence, whether it's betting on the team to win or lose that week or as a season win total. It can certainly do that. And I think it is more important for certain teams over others, right? We know how good Coach Andy Reid is when given time. He never loses to a team coming off a bye week. All right, so you give him extra time, extra rest. Once again, we like that. Whether it's the bye week or the Thursday game, we get 10 days instead of seven to figure things out. So I think there is. I certainly think there are advantages to extra buys. And once again, the NFL could avoid this if they want to, but they don't care.
Yeah. And that's the point, George. And Warren even talks about that in this article that I am reading right now. Again, Sharp Football Analysis, where you can find all of this information. This is teams helped and hurt by the full unveiling of the 2024 NFL schedule. A schedule this year, George, that had made 9 teams play 3 games in a 10-day span after not having any teams do it in the prior 5 seasons combined. That's crazy, given where things are,
health,
how things stack up.
They're worried about the players' health. The players' health. Bull.
Yeah, of course. Short week Thursday night football games is the biggest detriment to overall season health for teams. Players say it each and every year, and yet no changes are made. What they're worried about, bottom line, is this idea, making their television broadcast partners happy and making this a continuously billion-dollar industry with billion-dollar TV rights deals that come up every year in terms of the success, and when a new deal is available, having partnerships with Netflix that pay you out an absurd amount of money. That's what it is. Warren even suggests that in his article, George, because he works or is at least advised various NFL teams from a data perspective, that as long as the NFL is happy with how their broadcast partners view the schedule, NFL teams, specific organizations, not necessarily analyzing the schedule in this same way. So they don't get as up in arms. And even if they did, I think the NFL league office would probably say, hey, bottom line is the bottom line. But George, you bring up a great point. Maybe it doesn't affect overall a win total season long, although it really should. But it's what we discuss every week, short week Thursday night football game. Hey, this team played on Sunday in primetime. This team played on Sunday in the early afternoon. Hey, this team played short week Thursday night last week. Now they have a full extra day off to Monday, where the team they are playing played on Sunday the week. They have three more days to prepare. There's all of those rest edges that we talk about week to week and the rest advantage versus disadvantage that certainly affects the betting lines and how we go about handicapping.
Yeah, especially as the season rolls along, right? And those days start to add up. You know, so maybe it's the second half of the season thing we can really pick on as well here. Like I said, it's, you know, it's funny. As a fan, hey, the more football, the better, right? I'm that proponent. I want the 18-week season, right? Give them two bye weeks, too, because let's kill most of February with football. Would love it, right? Absolutely love it. And then by the time the Super Bowl is over on President's Day week, we go right to baseball and spring training. Okay, fantastic. But I'm also, you know, a full realist. It's bad for the players. I mean, going to, from 14 to 16 games in the 70s, yes, I was around for that, was probably bad for the players. 16 to 17, bad for the players. But we're fans. We want more football, and that's more money. It's not going away.
Yeah, nope, it's not going away, and maybe is only getting worse in terms of this idea of schedule equitability. I'm not sure we see that as long as the TV partners are happy. He's George Kurtz. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for a Friday here on Football Full Circle. Have a great weekend, everybody. FFC returns Monday, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.